It is now time for our featured segment, ladies and gentlemen. It is called Mic Check, sparking global changes in and around the world, right here on Groovin' Radio with your host, Ross Clem. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be having a men's health conversation, a life-changing moment for many American men. It is said that one in six Caucasian in the United States will experience prostate cancer. It is also said that one in five African-American men will experience prostate cancer. The numbers are alarming, ladies and gentlemen. And this morning, we will have an open and candid conversation with a man who knows somewhat about prostate cancer. He is a prostate cancer survivor. He was my guest last Saturday morning, and at the end of the presentation, he openly spoke about it, and it sparked this conversation. His name is Mr. Philip Bedwood Sr. Good morning, Philip. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Bedwood. Another day, man.
How is everything this morning? All the family members in Jamaica is safe, Philip?
Yes, I just spoke to him earlier on. Yes, everybody is safe. Although I have some trees and so fell down, but nevertheless, you know, life is there.
It is the greatest. It is the greatest thing, Philip Bedwood. Bring your volume up a little so the audience could hear you much clearer, sir. As I said at the opening, this is a men's health conversation, Philip Bedwood. A conversation that many men don't want to have. But you heard the numbers. One in six Caucasian will experience some kind of prostate issue in their lifetime. One in five African-American will experience some kind of prostate issues in their lifetime. It is also said it tends to get more serious as you get older, Mr. Philip Bedwood. Your chances of getting prostate issues increases with age. Talk to us about prostate cancer, Philip Bedwood. Talk to us.
Again, my brother. I'm a prostate cancer survivor and not a medical person.
Mm-hmm.
I talk from a perspective of being a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
One who actually for almost three years and 8 months now I've been a survivor. It's something that when you detect it, because it goes with age, like they say, they are saying now that from your 50 and over, you are more prone to having prostate cancer. They don't know the origin of it, but they say it can come from genetics or even diet. Nothing is certain. What we know that we are coming down with prostate cancer more and more. You know, I've had many friends who just called. I have a couple of friends who just called me like last week and even this week that know they are on that prostate cancer watch list.
Mm-hmm.
It is also said that you said 20%, but some data said up to 33% of black men in America would have suffered some prostate problem in their lifetime. So the numbers vary.
Yeah, the numbers varies, and as I mentioned earlier on, it is said that one in five African American. One in five, and that's alarming, Philip Bedwood. One in five African-American and one in six Caucasian. But it also tends to affect African-American men more than any other ethnic race. And you mentioned something, and you know, do you think it could cause based on your family genetics, huh?
Well, that's what they say. Probably that there's some truth to it scientifically, because we don't know. And one of us are from Jamaica. We didn't know. That was called, when I was growing up in Jamaica, tappage of water. You might remember that term. So when someone would have died, it was identified as a prostate cancer, a tappage of water. Yeah. So it's when I grew up, I realized that. That was what they were referring to, prostate cancer. So from early years in Jamaica, people are dying from that. It was maybe sometime undiagnosed. And even when they know that, nobody would have said anything about it.
Mm.
So that's also another taboo topic.
Right.
I'm working.
Right. Right. You know, Philip, it's funny you say that, you know. And I remember clearly the term stoppage of water. And it used to make you wonder, what is stoppage of water? And I'll just sidetrack a moment here. I remember a friend of mine came to the United States, and this was the early 1980s. And he was working at a company in Westchester that produces the news for airlines, Cinemagnetics, it was called. And he was actually working one night, and he was on a ladder, and he fell off the ladder, like he fainted. And they took him to the hospital. And, you know, the doctor questioned him and, you know, asked him certain questions. And one of the questions that was asked was that if there's anyone in your, if you're diabetic. And he said no. And, you know, the doctor kept pressing, you know, is there hypertension in the family? But then when the doctor checked his sugar level, it was high. And the doctor went back and says, are you sure that there's no one in your family who's diabetic? Because you're diabetic and your diabetes is bad. And luckily for his wife, she understands the term diabetic and says, but Danny, remember now, your mother has sugar, and sugar and diabetes is the same thing. So you see, the thing is, we in Jamaica, we will use certain terminology like, yeah, stoppage of water, which is prostate cancer. We'll use, you have sugar, which is, you're diabetic. You know, so high blood pressure, everybody says high blood pressure, but it's hypertension. And, you know, at the end of the day, this is one topic that many of us as men don't want to have, because the side effect of prostate cancer is very serious, and it takes away sometimes everything from us as men, and that is what we call our manhood.
Right.
That is what we call our manhood. And once you lose your manhood, there is certain confidence that you have lost. Talk to us about this, Patrick, Philip. I don't know why I keep calling you Patrick, but talk to us about this, Philip Bedwood, because when a man loses his manhood, his emotion goes crazy. His emotion goes crazy. And this can affect a lot of things, including the relationship at home, including the relationship at work. It can affect a lot of things. Talk to us about that, Philip Bedwood.
So you have a psychological, or sorry, emotional, mental and physical change. And when you're going through that process, because man is always a macho, seem to be, it's expected to be macho. When you're going through such change, you tend to go into your cave and to be so withdrawn, because now you find that you're not as macho as you ought to be. And if you do not have the kind of support system or mechanism around you, especially from family, that can further erode your confidence as to who you are. Because you are now entering that new phase where, like I said, your manhood is impacted. And when it's impacted, you don't know really what to do. So you talk neither to your people inside your house nor your friends. Especially when you go out and we have a way of just mocking people for everything. Right? And because you don't want to be mocked and to see that you have such handicap, you stay away from the past reality.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes as a result of that, you know you are impacted by it, and you don't even treat it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the problem that some of the men face. It erodes your manhood, so if left unchecked, it is called death. But mm-hmm. some man prefers to suffer the consequences mm-hmm. instead of even dealing with it in a realistic way.
You know, Philip, you mentioned something, and you mentioned support. You mentioned support, especially from family. But before I even discuss that part of it, Patrick, Philip Bedwood, one of the thing is, you know, when a man develops prostate cancer and he's told that he has prostate cancer, and I just want to walk it back a bit. When you found out that you have prostate cancer, were you told in person by your doctor, or were you told on the phone that, Mr. Bedwood, you have prostate cancer? And what was that moment like for you?
Well, I was told, you see, I always have my yearly physical, and the PSA was one of the things I checked. So I saw where the numbers were going up, and in fact, one of the doctor that I told me first, it was because of age. So even that situation was a level of negligence. When I changed that doctor, when that was changed from the same facility to different doctor, they saw that, okay, there's something that I saw in the MRI, I need to go and check. So when I did the biopsy, I was told then, because the numbers went from 3.6 to 4.3, to check that. And that at that time, I tell the truth, I didn't say anything to anybody. I just kept it that way. So it was left unchecked for a while, because I know I'm processing it as to the kind of impact. I was trying to see to what extent I can get some remedies, like nutraceuticals, to actually deal with it without even creating an alarm, because I didn't want family to get nervous about the situation. So I kept it for a while to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say anything.
Mr. Philip Bedwood, that is something that is common, though, you know. That is something that is common, because when you face the music and you hear the word cancer, you know, it's like, wow, what comes next? And as I said, you know, it's a frightening experience for many men. I remember going to the doctor, and I do my annual physical, I do my annual checkup, and the doctor will ask me personal questions about prostate cancer and, you know, certain other things in my family. And I would say, no, there's no one in my family. I said, well, there's one of my uncle who had an enlarged prostate, but I was never told that he had prostate cancer or anything. And this went on for quite some time. And my late brother, Winston Hume, I had no idea that my brother was diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer. And it wasn't until 2 weeks before his death, sometime last year, that I found out that he had prostate cancer. He also had bone cancer, and he had an autoimmune disease that we knew of. But the prostate cancer, we had no idea that he had prostate cancer. So when I went back to my doctor last December, And the doctor said to me, well, Mr. Hume, at your age, you're approaching 60. And at your age, you're now going to have to start watching your prostate, because telling me that your brother had stage 4 prostate cancer, I no longer need to see you every year anymore. I need to see you every 6 months. And just that statement alone has actually sent my mind into a different area. It has sent my mental into a total different area. And when I tell you I am concerned, when I tell you that I am worried, when I tell you that I can't even explain some of the feelings that I'm feeling. So what I did, I went in search of another doctor who can speak openly on manhood and womanhood. So we had a program in Women's History Month, and we spoke about menopause, which women go through, and we spoke about andropause, which men go through. Mm-hmm. Now, here's some of the things that came from that conversation. Some of the things that came from that conversation was your loss of testosterone, erectile dysfunction, all of that. All of that came from the conversation. Now, Mr. Philip Bedward, when a man is going through something like andropause, which is, a life-changing moment, and you realize that you have lost your erection, again, losing your manhood, you have lost a lot.
Yeah, of course, and like I said, many men refuse to even address the situation. Like I said, they suffer in silence and die in silence because no, your confidence has been eroded.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't see yourself as equal to your peers anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy. So because we don't know who will and who so many people who are. So many of men are suffering silence. Even your best friend sometimes just keep it to himself and they do not tell you anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get open and start telling people about it, so many of my go to the closet. I say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're open. And say yes, but you have to deal with it because life, you still have life.
Mm-hmm.
So let's work on what is left. Look and try to be set up what is gone. Look at it now and look. How can it be useful to yourself and to your family, your fellow men, mm-hmm. what's left in you or with you?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you just focus on the problem itself and the confidence and that it has something rewarded in men. Some men are not as unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
To have lost it, but I don't even know the date of the men who are fought. In fact, again, it goes by the kind of treatment you get. When I went to the oncologist, I said I wasn't in any danger.
Mm-hmm.
I referred to the urologist. I wasn't in any danger, but I opted to do a surgery because it was during COVID,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to have a peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and did a surgery without doing the research. I went for one treatment, and the urologist recommended another treatment. And when he recommended that, I didn't research it, but I just went into it because I didn't want to be caught in any facility because of COVID. So I opted and hastily did it without doing the research.
Mm-hmm.
I did what they call the cryo surgery, where they use laser and freeze the bad cells.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't in the at that time. So after doing it, what the problem I had
mm-hmm.
is that the urologist only froze one side of the prostate.
Right.
So what happened? The other side became active.
Wow.
So then we have a return of the problem that I thought I had it was remedied.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is though, I was on the Dr. Lowe's alpha prostate, and I had stopped taking both because the number came down from 7.8 to 2.49.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped. And when I stopped taking it, the other side became active.
Right.
It's today what I have done to control that. It's alpha prostate. I was taking that before I went in, and I'm still on that to control because I've gone through any other procedure.
Mm-hmm.
I have taken the alpha prostate to sort of control it. So that product itself helped to prevent
mm-hmm.
and helped to correct.
Right. Before we even get into the alpha prostate, which is a natural product, you know, and thank you very much, Mr. Patrick Buddington. You know, Patrick is sending me some information here in terms of hormonal therapy and reduced testosterone level to slow prostate cancer growth, loss of libido, you know, and you know, there is surgery that you can do. There is radiation. And the thing about radiation that I've actually brought up is how it can weaken the muscles around, because remember where your prostate is and the other and what's down there, you know, it can weaken your bladder, it can weaken some of your other organs, so you will have for quite some time frequent urination. Oftentimes men will pee on themselves, and you know, again, I want folks to understand this and be clear on this. When a grown man pee on himself, I wonder if you know how that feels. I wonder if you know when a grown man is trying to get to a destination, You're even on a flight. You're even on a flight and you pee on yourself. Do you know how that can break you down mentally and emotionally as a grown man? Go ahead, Philip.
Just something that, again, another sort of, it's evident, and so it become a disgraceful act. To have that situation, well, fortunately for me, I've not had that kind of a response. I had one time when I finished did the surgery, before I get to the bathroom, then I had that experience. But I've known a number of men who have had that, and I've seen, you know, so many elderly men, especially when they go to the bathroom and come back, you see their pants are looking wet, because it still also helped to cause some of the fluid to be retained and drip slowly out. So then you might feel like that's finished. And while I feel like you're finished, when you exit the bathroom or the restroom, you find out that what you have left in your bladder is coming out, and you can't do anything. Nothing about it again at that time too. So yes, that is a problem that men have faced and are still facing when it comes to that situation. Because like I said, there is, you don't even know how you get it. But when you get there, how do you deal with it?
And the constant leakage, and, you know, think about it. And ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Grooving Radio. We are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check, Sparking Global Changes in and Around the World. The conversation this morning, men's health. We're talking prostate cancer with a prostate cancer survivor who has agreed to come and talk openly and candidly about his experience, him being diagnosed with prostate cancer, how long he has been a survivor, what he did and what he is taking to manage his prostate cancer. We're talking about the emotional imbalance. We're talking about the you know, here is something, the physical and mental imbalance. And here is something that is very, very important, you know, is again, for your wife to understand or your girlfriend to understand what you're going through and what you're experiencing. You're experiencing a loss of manhood. And it's not about sex anymore at that point. It's really not about having sex. Because you cannot. And because you cannot, and they're saying the intimacy has been gone. It has been gone for a year. It has been gone for 5 years. It has been gone for 7 years. It has been gone for 4 years. It doesn't matter, ladies. What really matters is your partner's health, your partner's well-being. I understand, yes, sex is important to you at this point, but your partner, your husband, your lifelong partner can no longer do it the way he used to do it. So what are you going to do? Are you going to stick with him? Are you going to support him? Are you going to support him mentally? Are you going to tell him, oh, you're not the first one to have it, you will get over it, oh, the doctor said your numbers are doing great? It still doesn't change the fact that when you walk into that doctor's office and he says, Mr. Bedwood, you have prostate cancer, but here are the options. We can do chemo, we can do surgery, we can do radiation, and what we're going to ask you to do is to go home, sit with your wife, sit with your partner, and discuss this and see which treatment you choose. And whatever treatment you choose to go through, it is not going to eliminate the fact that you're going to have frequent urination for quite some time. You're going to be left with some urine in your bladder. So when you think you're finished urinating, there's still pee left in your bladder. And if you don't empty that properly, as you mentioned, Mr. Philip Bedwood, you put your thing back in your pants, and next thing you know, you go out in the crowd and somebody say, what's your pants? Your pants wet. And you're embarrassed. And you're embarrassed. So I just want folks to understand this conversation, you know. It's a serious conversation Because I didn't realize that men goes through a similar thing as what women goes through. I didn't realize that men goes through andropause as women goes through menopause. And I can tell you that I've been through andropause. Because I remember one day sitting on my couch watching television and I got hot flashes. And I'm saying, what's wrong with me? I am asking myself, what's wrong with me? Why am I sweating? It's not hot. And I had that conversation with my doctor. And he told me that you have been through, you went through, you experienced midlife crisis. But who would have told me, who would have said to me that, Clem, you're going through a midlife crisis? And I had no idea, Philip Bedward. I had no idea that there was a midlife crisis for men.
That is the problem, my brother, that we have a similar biological change, but we are not informed about it. So when it starts happening to us, we don't know, because we don't know what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes when things are happening, like the andropause situation, in fact, I am going to say that, when it comes to that situation, even us being men, and you talk about sugar earlier on, and diabetes, all of these things, can you imagine a man having prostate issue and diabetes? That actually both of them combined and brings on urination, fecal urination. Can you imagine that kind of situation? That occurrence in
Okay, here is a combination. Here's a combination that I want you to think of. A man has prostate cancer. That same man has diabetes. And that same man has hypertension, high blood pressure. No, it is also said that if you're on blood pressure medication, mm-hmm. it weakens your organs. So your sexual organs don't work as they used to work. So men who are taking medication for high blood pressure, and that's why so many men don't take their blood pressure medication, because they loses their sex drive. They loses their manhood. And they will rather have sex than preserve their life. Think about that. So
that's the reality with so many people. And a level of ignorance and arrogance, I would call it wrestling, still prevail among us. Because we prefer to suffer that way and cut our life short. Because we want to enjoy the pleasures versus taking care of ourselves properly. So when it comes to our well-being, it is imbalance. But we prefer to sacrifice one over the other.
Isn't that frightening, though? Isn't that frightening that you choose to have a 15 minutes or a 30 minutes engagement with a lady by having sex and not taking care of your health that could put 50 years on your life, huh?
You said frightening. I said selfishness. You understand what I'm saying? Because you could have been more useful, and are you more useful contributor in other areas, but you choose to be selfish in one area. And shorten your life, and maybe cause a lot of unattended situations to be left behind. That you didn't put the right measure in place. That when you depart, these things are taken care of, and so you could have stayed a little longer to put it in place. But you choose to hide it and to choose to indulge in the pleasures, and then before you know it, you are gone.
But how about selfishness? How about selfishness on your partner's side, by saying to you that you have ignored me, you don't think of me. For the last 4 years, I am without sex. Isn't that a selfish way of thinking? And think about the emotional trauma that those words are causing on your partner. When you're telling them that we didn't do this for X amount of years, we didn't do this for X amount of weeks, or we didn't do this for X amount of months, isn't that kind of cruel to tell somebody who has come to you now openly and says, I have been experiencing erectile dysfunction. The doctor told me that I have prostate cancer. I have lost my testosterone. And think about this also. Think about this also. And I had this conversation with Dr. Marcia Harris, who told me that men start losing their testosterone at the age of 30, as young as the age of 30. And every 10 years, you will lose 10%, 10% of your testosterone, which means at age 50, 50% of men in America cannot get a proper erection. 50%. At age 60, 60% of men cannot get a proper erection. And it increases every 10 years. Where you think your loved ones should play a role into all of this, Mr. Philip Bedwood?
So first, it's understanding. Education first. To be aware of these situations and to know that that's a reality, especially when the diet is not correct. To ensure that if you can reduce or delay the situation by proper dieting, both parties should be aware of that. You know what kind of food to eat and what kind of remedies to take to sort of create that balance, or delay that. So education is something that is very, very important to have. Understanding, another one, when you do not have the education, so you become victimized of a situation, now understanding is very key for us to have a caring discussion, realizing that it's a process that takes place naturally. And so you have to have that mental adjustment to relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the understanding is not there,
mm-hmm.
that becomes a more complicated problem.
Mm-hmm.
So it is something that we're supposed to be having some candid conversation about health and wellness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To ensure that we understand. Because if you talk about the female, remember the female has a similar one with breast cancer.
Yes.
And they have a lot of support mechanism around that.
Mm-hmm.
But for men, we are still in the closet. So then that kind of support mechanism, again, to have that kind of openness about it, where we can have us talking about that situation, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. to relate to it,
mm-hmm.
so we can know more or less. Even though one side doesn't fit all, what are some of the steps that one would have taken to help to reduce that? And maybe, I don't know if it can be corrected.
Mm-hmm.
It's a biological disorder.
Right.
Can it be corrected? I don't know.
You know, the emotional and psychological impact of prostate cancer, it is devastating, you know. The physical changes that a man goes through can be devastating, you know. Loss of self-confidence, it can be devastating, you know. And I just want folks to understand this, that if your partner is going through prostate cancer and he openly comes to you and tell you and share with you that he has erectile dysfunction, that he's going through this, he's peeing on himself, not that he wants to pee on himself accidentally, and how it has broken him down emotionally, maybe it is time for counseling. Maybe it is time for therapy. And I must tell you this. When my doctor placed me on this prostate cancer watch, and I told you, and I said to you, it has played with my emotions. It has played with my emotion. I went to sit and talk to a therapist because I really wanted to know what next? Because it is scary. It is extremely scary knowing that there's no way of you escaping this. No way of you escaping this. Because guess what? as you get older, it is knocking on your door. And I remember years and years ago, there was a gentleman who was a prostate cancer survivor. And we were doing, at that time, we did Caribbean Lifestyle TV. And he would, he was a promoter, and he would go around to events, and he would have a medical bus, and he would be urging men to do prostate screening. I remember the first time I had a physical prostate test. It was scary. And I didn't know anything about doing a PSA at that time. I only knew about going to the doctor and have the doctor tell you, do whatever you bend over, and he did his thing or she did her thing. And again, men, I am urging you, start having this conversation. One in six Caucasian will get prostate cancer. One in five African American will get prostate cancer. And it's something that the family has to work together to get through this. It is not an easy road to travel. So when a man like Mr. Philip Bedwood can come out and talk openly about what he has been through, what he's going through, and it now is going to lead me to this now. It's going to lead me to this now, Philip. Because you said you did the surgery, and you're taking Dr. Lowe's product. Tell the audience the products that you're taking, and how often you take these products.
Alpha Prostate is a product, and I started taking Alpha Prostate when it was discovered that I had prostate cancer. In fact, it's a two doses per day. But what I did to aggressively deal with it initially is to do like four per day. It's a nutraceutical, so it caused me to sleep more. But four per day was aggressive and brought down the numbers, the patient number back down to normal. And then I stay on a two per day as a maintenance. So that has helped me. And like I said, it's a nutraceutical, so it doesn't have the kind of side effects that one would have had. In fact, that product also is something that was the U.S. Department of State has given that product a certificate of free sale, meaning that it has endorsed the product to be sold not only in America but across the world. The World Bank has given him a letter of commendation for the product because of the efficacy of it. It's a very potent product, right? And people who don't want to get into that kind of predicament, it doesn't have the side effects, so you can take it as a supplement, like you'd have taken a vitamin, and also you can take it to help to correct it when you're inside.
You know, and again, thanks to a listener, thanks to my good friend Mr. Patrick Buddington, who has sent me something here, and let me share this with you, and it deals with psychological support. You know, you can go to counseling. Individuals can go to therapy. You can go as a couple, or you can go individually, but it's probably best to go as a couple. Deal with your depression. Deal with your anxiety. You know, your congenitive behavior. It's something that, again, Philip, folks will say, well, Philip is going to counseling, or Philip is going to therapy. Philip is crazy. No. Philip is not crazy. Philip is trying to fix his problem. If Clem is going to counseling or Clem is going to therapy, Clem is not crazy. Clem is trying to fix the condition that he's going through. If Patrick is going to counseling, if Patrick is going to therapy, it doesn't mean that Patrick is crazy. And here is where we need to stop labeling people. Are labeling things. Because if you don't know the truth, and as you said earlier on, education in all of this is the key. Support in all of this is the key. Because I am telling you, if you are not fully supported, you know, you start thinking about suicide and those things. You know that, huh?
Of course, you drive you crazy, my brother. When you don't have the kind of support mechanism around you, and you have not been able to get the kind of counseling. So some people would have gone to, I don't know how close they are to their religious leaders, that can go and talk. And some of the churches also. And that's where some of these religious establishment to start having this kind of candid discussion among the men, to have that kind of health and wellness talk, to ensure that the experts can come and explain to people from an early age what to look for. So then some people don't have to get into that predicament, because even though you don't know what's wrong with it, how you prevent it, like I said, my experience in taking this product is that it helps to prevent, it helps to correct. So then what I've heard also, my brother, really comes to that. Some men I've spoken to will tell me that they don't want to start because they cannot afford it. And I'm saying, how when you get into it and you have to pay this high medical bill to correct it, why, instead of being proactive, you have been reactive, are you supposed to spend money to correct instead of being able to prevent? All of these situations are a level of ignorance and arrogance that we have expressed, because we figure that we are macho. Mm-hmm. And we do not want to prioritize things the way. So all of these things are important for us to give health a priority, especially when you reach, as I say, age 50 or even 40. The priority it must be given.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that you are macho and you can escape. Because I've spoken to people who tell me, oh, I'm okay. I'm saying, but why don't you try to? Because you don't know if you'll be a victim.
Mm-hmm.
Try to do something to prevent you getting into a crisis.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, you are listening to Grooving Radio. We are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. The conversation this morning, men's health, and we're talking prostate cancer with a prostate cancer survivor, Mr. Philip Bedwood, who has agreed to speak openly about his diagnosis. And I'm talking to you as the host of this program, Ras Klim, who has gone to the doctor. And the doctor says, Mr. Klim, Mr. Hume, we no longer need to see you every year anymore to look at your prostate. You need to come into our office every 6 months. So you're placed on a prostate watch. And a watch that is devastating, a watch that is playing with your emotional well-being, your psychological well-being, your physical well-being. It plays with everything that you were so accustomed to. It makes you lose confidence. It makes you think other things. And to the point now, we're saying, men, let's have this conversation. Let's have this hoping conversation. Mr. Philip Bedwood mentioned earlier on that that woman goes through breast cancer. Yes, African-American women suffer breast cancer more than any other group in the United States. African-American men suffers prostate cancer more than any other group in the United States. And it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder why. And there's so many things that attach to it, Mr. Philip Bedwood. But then, let me just briefly run through some of the side effects that men don't want to talk about. And the biggest one is the loss of your manhood. The loss of your manhood. Men are not going to talk about that. Dr. Harris says to me, if you notice, Clem, when you used to be able to stick around for an hour or 45 minutes, and you're now down to 20 minutes or you're now down to 15 minutes, and you feel like you're failing your partner, what do? You run to the health food store, and you get a product, and you boost up yourself. And the next time you go to work, you're working for an hour again. You're working for 45 minutes again. And you think you're doing great. You think you're doing great. But then try it again next week now. You pop down again. It means you have a problem. And you need to go and take care of that problem. So when you start to lose your testosterone and you start to lose your erection, your ability to sustain an erection for a long time, it is called erectile dysfunction. And if you're going through erectile dysfunction, go get it checked. It might not be prostate cancer, you know. It might not be. But go check and see why you're going through erectile dysfunction. If you're having frequent urination, if you're peeing and you're not emptying your bladder fully, it might not be prostate cancer. It could be you have a bladder issue. But you won't know until you go and get it checked. Your PSA could be in the 20s. And it's not prostate cancer. It could be that you have an infection in your prostate. But go and get it checked. Don't hide it. Because it can lead to death. As a matter of fact, it will lead to death. It's the same thing like hypertension. If you go to the doctor and the doctor says you have high blood pressure and they place you on medication, take the medication, please. Don't listen to the guy in the barbershop who's going to tell you, boy, Ras Clem, if you take the medication, then you know, you're going to lose your manhood, you know, you're going to lose your erection, you know. Don't take it. But then what happened? Next thing you know, Rasclem has a stroke. Or Rasclem has a heart attack. And gone. Because he was diagnosed with something and never took the medication. Mr. Philip Bedwood, the next 10 minutes I'm going to give it back to you. I want you to talk about what I just spoke about in terms of manhood, erectile dysfunction, and taking your medication. Go ahead.
Is this something that like I said, when you're in that kind of predicament, then the manhood is eroded and it's lost. And the kind of psychological, mental and physical imbalance you're having is very telling. So you have to know do that kind of mental readjustment. You have to know see yourself getting the kind of counseling. You have to know have a kind of understanding within the partners to actually know more or less that how to be embraced to deal with it and go through it. Because if you don't do that, then more or less you find that it will become a lonelier road for you. And if it becomes a lonelier road for you, it's more devastating on your health otherwise, especially emotionally and mentally. We need to understand that, like I said, some men are having that triple play that you talk about, hypertension, diabetes, and prostate. It's even becoming more devastating. So you're taking medication for all three of them, and we are taking it, then all three of them will have that kind of impact on your manhood, your sexuality also. So when you're going through that situation again, it takes a level of understanding, dialogue, and a mental readjustment to know that you have come to that stage where you cannot function normally again as you used to. So then you don't try to look back to see who you were and what you were then. Look at where you are now and be conscious of it. So make a conscious effort to deal with the present, because it is the present situation that's affecting you, not the past. So then as a result, the kind of adjustment and the kind of support you need, to be candid, you need to be honest, and you need to be surrounded with people who will help you to go through it. And so it's best when you have that kind of support, have your pastor, have your psychologist, your medical doctor. Somebody who can give you that kind of support you need, and you can sit on. Yeah, you need somebody, even a friend, who will understand you. Close friend who understands you can sit and talk with a booty. I have had many of my friends now coming to and thanking me to be open about it, they are no more having to deal with it, and they are dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I commend them also, knowing that because they don't feel alone anymore, they don't feel afraid anymore. They have a level of confidence now to know that somebody's going through it and is candid about it. So I think if more of us who are going through it are candid about it, to talk about their experiences, to talk about how we are going through it, then more of our men will gain the confidence to actually address it also. And embrace that reality that we now face.
And you know, Philip, I really want to thank you. I really want to thank you to be so open and so candid, you know, to talk about what you have been through, what you're going through, and speak candidly about, you know, about the support and what you think, you know, how the support should be. And women, you know, please. It is very cruel. It is very cruel for you to think that because your partner hasn't been able to be with you in a certain way for quite some time, for you to throw that back at your partner. And it's very cruel of you to try to say to your partner, get over it. You're not the only one who will ever experience this. Many men are going through this. No. It's not. That is not the way to treat someone who's suffering physically, emotionally, mentally, psychologically. That's not the way. It is not the way to brush them aside and says, you know, I can't stick around anymore. No, it's not that time. It is not that time for those conversations. That's a very cruel hack. It's a very bad way of looking at a situation. And if your partner should say to you, honey, let's go to counseling, think about it. Because maybe you're going through something that you don't want to talk about. Because a lot of women go through menopause and don't want to talk about it. And the thing is, again, like I said before, a man, when he loses his manhood, he becomes a child. He becomes a child. And he feels ashamed. And like you mentioned, Philip Bedwood, if a man goes to the bathroom and urinates and don't even realize until he comes out, there's drippings of pee on his pants. Right? And the public can seize it. And they'll bow their head and smile and laugh. And when you realize what is happening, you're too far gone. You're broken down into pieces. You're broken down into something that you never imagined that you would be broken down to. I'm going to ask you for a closing statement. I thank you again so much, Mr. Philip Bedwood. And where can folks get Dr. Lowe's product? Where can they get the product?
Currently, I just spoke to them yesterday to see where... So I've been in dialogue with them, but yesterday was the last time I spoke with them. I will be working on it to actually be a rep for them here in the States. So within the near future, it will be so by maybe late summer into early fall, September. Sorry, we can have we have access to it fully. But if you don't mind, for being before that, I do can get some people like on a limited scale coming through, because it's coming from Jamaica somehow. So then I can limited scale, I can get some. And if you don't mind sharing my number, or you can share my number with anybody who wants it, that they can contact me, then I lead them to that, because it's not available on the market yet.
Yeah. You know, I can share your number now, and I will, because I'm telling you this, I need some of that product. I need the prevention and I need the cure. You know, I know in the herbal world, they don't want us to use the word cure, but I need the prevention and I need the cure. Folks, you can call Mr. Philip Bedwood at 516 516- 516-300-2568. That is Mr. Philip Bedwood Sr. at 516-300-2568. He's a marketing specialist and consultant specialist. So give him a call and he knows what he's talking about. And once again, for being so open and so candid, I thank you so much, my brother. Your second week in a row here on Grooving Radio. And you know, you have become a regular now. So we'll be having a lot more conversation, Philip. Thank you so much, my brother.
Yes. So much to talk about in our community. There is a level of consciousness about some other things that we need to have.
Definitely.
There's so much. And I don't mind sharing. I have a wealth of knowledge about and so many different things as a consultant. I've done a whole lot of research when it comes to goods and services and the approach of the things. I can help in that regard. So when I can help, talk to me about it, and then we can see where do we take this. I'm looking forward to be invited again to talk about this new craze. If you don't mind me talking about that, that's happening to us. How do we move into this era to protect our asset so that we don't become victims of the system?
That's another conversation for another Saturday morning. Just write it down and text it to me so I can put it in my Rolodex to know that it's another conversation we're going to have with Mr. Philip Bedwood. He is a creative marketing consultant and critical data analyst. He is the principal of Caribbean Marketing Solution, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, Mr. Bedwood, for joining us this Saturday morning.
You're welcome, brother, and thank you for having me again. And I look
Indeed.
Forward to sharing with you and my fellow men again.
Indeed. One love, my brother. One love. We'll talk later on today. Take care, Philip. Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, I do hope that you were able to gather some knowledge right there from this presentation this Saturday morning. Men's Health, the conversation about prostate cancer.